Be home again. Turn with me, if you would please, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. You know, folks, we're living in perilous times. Praise the Lord, we're on the winning side. We're overcomers in Jesus Christ. We know we're headed, and one day, praise God, that glorified body, forever with Jesus and our loved ones, has passed on before us, and no more goodbyes. And I just love being home in Tennessee. You may think it's cold. I'm loving it. It's 100 in Texas. It's down to the high 80s, low 90s at night. And I come here and we don't even need air conditioning. It's just wonderful. Cut off air conditioning, everything. Open the window, smell the air of the promised land, and it's great, I tell you. Good to be at Buffalo Ridge again. I want to preach this morning, or tonight, on seeing our faith. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, one verse. Seeing our faith, and I think it's more important today than ever. It's always been important, but I think more so today that people see Jesus in us. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you, Heavenly Father. We owe you everything. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. God, we must decrease, but you must increase. More than ever in these perilous times, and I believe it's the end times, help us to live for you, to please you. Help others to see Jesus in us. Give us souls for our labor. Use us mightily for your glory. And Lord, and everything we say and do, may the cross of Calvary and the precious Jesus be lifted up tonight. Anoint this service. And God, I just pray, touch every heart to your glory. For it's in Christ's name I ask these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, faith is seldom developed in comfortable surroundings. It's hard times. I believe the times are getting harder. You know, people don't want to step out of their comfort zones, but the more we step out of our comfort zones and the more God works in our life, the greater our faith becomes. If you study Hebrews chapter 11, you study the great men and women of Hebrews chapter 11, you see they faced the impossible, they believed the incredible, and then they saw God perform a miracle in their lives and with those that they touched. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2 says, for by it, speaking of faith, the elders obtained a good report. I want you to think, Enoch, he got to see heaven. Noah, he got the ark. Abraham, he saw a heavenly city. We see that Joshua, he saw the promised land. You know, folks, I believe God has greater things for us. I believe God has better things for us. And I don't think that we have to wait to the hereafter. We have eternal life right now. We have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. And we can have a great, joy-filled life here upon this earth. And you see, they believe God against all odds. And we say sometimes it's getting harder to serve the Lord. It's getting harder to build churches. It's getting harder to win souls. It's getting harder to do everything. You know how I look at it, folks? We have greater opportunities today to reach others for Jesus Christ than we ever have had upon the face of this earth. The opportunities are amazing. The technology that we have in our hands and the things, the means that we can use to touch others. And I want us to look at three things as a challenge tonight. Three different men, how God used them. The first I want us to look at is Moses. We must believe like Moses. I want you to realize something tonight. Moses was leading up to 2 million uncooperative people. I want you to think, these people were going out into a wilderness. They had no food. They had no water. They basically had nothing. And God gives Moses the instructions, I want you to lead these children to build a tabernacle. If you translate what they were to build down into present currency, they were to spend roughly $10 to $15 million to build this tabernacle to God, and God is telling Moses, tell them to do that. Folks, I want to tell you, it takes a leader, a man that has faith, to step out by that faith, obey God, and lead people to do something that seems impossible. God wants to work in that leader's life. God wants to work in the people's life. And of course, God revealed his instructions to Moses there on Mount Sinai. And I want you to think about this. He has all these laid off brick workers. And he tells them, I'm going to put you to work doing this. It says, Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. Let me go to Exodus chapter 35, verse 5 first. It says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. They had to have a willing heart. Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Listen, it's not easy to walk by faith. Faith is the essence of things unseen. Faith is the impossible. Faith is trusting God. Faith is depending on God. Moses received the word. He revealed God's message to the people, and then the people had to respond. Folks, I think that's what we need more than ever today. God has given leaders a vision, but we need people that will respond, step out by faith, and do that which God has asked them to do. Now, Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. God will never call you to do something that God does not equip you to do. It looked like an impossible situation. It looked like they did not have the means. God had already given them the means through the spoils of the Egyptian people. You see, it's when we step out by faith and obey God that God honors that and provides everything that we need to do everything that God requires us to do. He told the priest, get their feet wet. It's when they stepped in the waters that the waters parted. If they had not had the faith and stepped into waters, God would not have acted and the waters would never have parted. Exodus chapter 35, verse 21 says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Folks, we need hearts that's stirred by God, that's stirred by his word, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for his holy garments. Listen, it's when the heart is stirred up, it's when the spirit is moved that folks' things get done. We said in New Guinea, musky talk, action. What we were saying, shut up and get to work. Musky talk. Much talk can be accomplished. Much wills can be spinning, going nowhere, accomplishing none. All right, we know what we're to do. We know what God wants us to do. Now let's go do it. Get the job done. That's what God expects of us. Get the job done. He told Moses, he said, you deliver the message. You obey me. You do what God has led me to do. And then it's up to the people to obey and follow your leadership. Follow my word and respond to the message from the leader that got his message from God. And folks, I believe that's where we stand today. You see, God's concerned with the heart. It says their hearts were stirred. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. God's looking today for a people that has the stirred hearts, that's willing to step out by faith, that's willing to sacrifice, that's willing to give of time and talents and the blessings that God has given them and substance and all. Here Moses had a people, in essence, they had no home, they had no substance, they had no economic security, and God says, I want you to go and do great things. You know, folks, I think one thing sometimes, and of course, I as a pastor, you know, sometimes we look at the situation before us and we think, impossible. And you know, then I think of God and I think nothing's impossible with God. And you know what God has to rebuke me on? Oh, you have little faith. Have I not called you to do this? Is this not what I want done? Oh, you look and you may see a few people and you may see people that seems to be uninterested and so forth. But you know what God says? Go into the highways and the byways, compel them to come in. God said, just keep knocking the doors. Just keep witnessing. Just keep going. Just keep doing everything that God's called you to do, and God will give the increase. You see, daily and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. We are to deliver the message that God gave to us. God opened the opportunity to Moses, and it took him to step out by faith to challenge and to lead the people to step out by faith. And of course, we saw the tabernacle was completed. So we need to have the belief of Moses, walking by faith, living by faith, letting others see our faith. The second thing I want you to see tonight is our faith. Others see our faith when we prepare like David. I want you to think about this. David eventually knew that he was not going to build the temple for God. How would you like to know that you're putting all your labor forth, you're preparing everything, you're doing everything to hand it over to somebody else? They're going to get the glory for it, so to speak. They're going to get the fruit of your labor, so to speak. You see, 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 1, here's the children, they're in the wilderness. They're journeying. Of course, the tabernacle is temporary. And it says in 1 Chronicles 17 verse 1, now it came to pass as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. David had a burden. David gave that burden to Nathan. Nathan encouraged David, go for it. Build a house. So here he's going out. Here he's planning on building a house. And then God reveals to Nathan, David's not the man that I want to build that house. So Nathan goes to David, and Nathan tells David, it's going to be Solomon. It's not going to be you. Now David has to make a choice. Do I just sit down and, all right, son, it's yours? Or do I get personally involved and do my part? You see, the Bible says we're in a race. And the Bible says the only one that gets the prize is the one that finishes the finish line. Hey, David, I'm not through with you. You're not going to get your wish, but I'm going to use you greatly. I'm going to use you mightily. You're going to make the preparation of all the material, and I'm going to allow your bloodline, I'm going to allow your son Solomon to build that temple. You see, David made the right choice. He stepped out by faith. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I'll start with verse 1, says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom God alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender. Nothing wrong with being young and tender, folks. And the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Hey, you're not doing this for a man. You're doing it for God. You're doing it for God's glory. Everything that we do, we need to decrease. God needs to increase. It all needs to be for the glory of God. It all needs to be to lift up the cross of Calvary. It all needs to be to point others to Jesus Christ. He said in verse 2, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Then he talks about the gold, and he talks about the silver, and he talks about all the things that he gave and the preparation that he made. And he says there at the end in verse 5, and who there is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. Listen, folks, what I want you to know is something. Leaders step out and set an example. When people follow that example, and when they step out, others follow their example. Before you know it, you got a multitude. You got a lot of people that's working and accomplishing great things for God. But you have to remember, hey, this is for God, not for man. Let me tell you something. Our high has been 107, 112 heat index. When you're out there walking the streets at 107, and I'm talking about we start visitation at 10 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock, some days it's in the high 90s. Some days it can literally be 100. Listen, it gets tough. You're out there in the concrete jungle, and heat's coming off that. And you're knocking doors, and they're not home, or some of them don't care, and some of them shut the doors in your face, and someone no thanking, and a few would talk to you and stuff. Don't you think it's just tempting to quit? Don't you think it's tempting, well, we'll just cancel summer visitation, and we'll have fall visitation when it's cooler? You understand what I'm saying, folks? God didn't say it'd be easy, but God said, do it. God didn't say everybody's going to say yes. God didn't say they're going to fall at your feet by the multitudes. But God says, you do it, and I give the increase. God as daily as he sees fit. We are to go about the Lord's business. That's exactly what David did. You see, his faith called him, David, you be personally involved. You do what I have commanded you to do and what I want you to do. And you see, the problem with many Christians today, oh, I'm behind you, brother. They'll pray for you. They'll encourage you. They'll say, go get them. But they don't get personally involved. You're the cream of the crop. You're here on Wednesday night. I want to tell you something. Think if every single person in here was doing something. I'm sure a lot of you are. Maybe most of you. But I'm talking, can you see what a mighty army if every one of you was out on visitation? Could you see what a mighty army if every one of you was making X number of contacts every single week? Phone cards, postal phone calls, personal visitation, etc. You see, others see your faith by your actions. We have something down at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We have something that everybody needs. I want you to meet my Savior. I want you to meet my pastor. I want you to meet my people. I want you to see our church. Hey, I want you to see what great life there is in Jesus Christ and what great life that you can have in the midst of a turbulent times and a troubled world. Folks, it is wonderful. We do have the answer, and Jesus is the answer. But how many sit and pray, and how many say, go, but yet they never go themselves? You see, I think for people to get involved, it takes these things. First of all, it takes zealous preparation. Pouring your whole strength, pouring your whole heart into it. Listen to what Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. Pour your whole heart into it. Pour your whole being into it. Man, if you go on visitation, give it your all. If you're teaching a class, give it your all. If you're going to the hospital, give it your all when you're witnessing to those folks and when you're praying for them and when you're there at the funerals and you're showing compassion and they're crying on your shoulder and all. Pour your total being into it. Listen, I love the ministry. I wouldn't do anything else. I have no desire to do anything else. I want to be in the ministry till I die. Folks, it's the greatest life on earth. Listen, it's a calling of God. It's a calling for me. It's a calling for Jody. But even though you're not in full-time Christian service, you still have a calling of God on your life to be about God's business and to be witnessing and to doing everything that God wants you to do. Pour your life and your heart and your soul into everything that God's called you to. Be the best for God that God wants you to be. Oh, listen, the churches of Macedonia were a great example of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 through 5. And we know that. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship or the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Listen, they had a passionate faith, and because they had a passionate faith, they had passionate action. Folks, if you don't have that passion, you've lost it. Who wants to come to God when you just go out and you just talking really slow, you know, I'd like to invite you to my church, you know. Man, I love my church, and we have a lot of good people there. Would you want to go to church like that? But, man, when somebody's coming and they're grinning like a possum and they're excited and they're telling you, man, there's great things going on down there at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the best preaching in the world, and, hey, we want you to be a part of it, and we want you to come and visit and see what's happening. Hey, you're getting ready to have a big day. Hey, all of Johnson City ought to be here, and all of Kingsport ought to be here, and all of Bristol ought to be here. Hey, it ought to be full and overrunning. Why? Because your passion has been conveyed to others. Your excitement about your Lord has been conveyed to them. And hey, if your Lord is that grace, hey, they want to come and have a part and see what you have such a passion about, what you're so excited about. It takes affectionate preparation. Now in Texas, it'll be the Cowboys. In Texas, it'll be the Rangers. I'm sure here it's the Vols. And I imagine that when Tennessee plays, you go down the interstate, and all the cars are flying ball flags, and everybody's dressed in orange and orange hats, and you're singing rocky time. You know what? If you want to know what is the passion of somebody's heart, just ask them. With a mouth or tail. Oh, man, whoa, hey. Do people get excited like that for the Lord? Man, some of you may work in technology. I can't keep up with technology, you know. But some, man, you talk about technology. Oh, let me tell you what the latest thing is. Man, this. You know, wow. Folks, you need to get that excited about Jesus. You need to be that affectionate about Jesus. You see, I want you to take about David. David was a king. David was living in luxury. David was living in comfort. He didn't talk about his palace, and he didn't talk about his comfort, and he didn't talk about all the material things of this world that he had. You know what was foremost on David's life and what consumed him? I want to build a temple for my God. I want my God to have the best. Look at what Solomon built. It consumed him. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Oh, we need to be thinking about heaven. And we need to be thinking about those souls that's lost and going to hell. We need to be thinking about the opportunity of this big day. How many can be reached and whom can be reached? And oh, wouldn't it be great to see these altars packed with people coming and trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because you cared and because you went and because you brought them in and because God added. But it's going to take sacrifice. That's the third thing there. Oh, it takes that zeal and it takes that affection, but it takes that sacrifice. Folks, when you love something, you sacrifice for them. I die for my mate. I would die for my children. Oh, listen. If it's worth having, it's going to cost you something. David, he had the zeal and he had the affection. He had the sacrifice. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 6 says, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers and the king's work offered willingly. They saw the faith of David. That's what I'm talking about tonight, folks. Seeing our faith. Others seeing our faith. We can say, I have faith. We can say, I have great faith. We can know the doctrines and we can sing the songs and we can have the church attendance. But it's when we put forth labor for our Lord. It's when we walk the walk and talk the talk that others see Jesus. I'm not talking about don't witness. I'm not talking about just walking the walk and talking the talk. But I'm talking, it takes it all combined. Let others see literally Jesus inside of us. David said, for me to die is gain. Paul said he's dead. He said, it's not me that liveth in me. He said, it is Christ that liveth in me. Christ-likeness. That's what God wants, folks. But I want to see the third thing. We have to believe like Moses. We have to prepare like David. Make preparation for tomorrow. Make preparation for the big day. Make preparations for the future and everything that's coming. But hey, we have to build like Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11, the latter part of the verse says, I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here Nehemiah walked and he saw the walls, charred remains. The gates burned. He saw the ashes. You know what he did? He had to do something deliberately. He was compelled by compassion. Folks, God is a God of compassion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It takes compassion. It takes looking at Grace Station, and it takes looking at the Tri-Cities. It takes looking at the souls, and I believe Jesus is coming soon, and I believe it could be imminent any time. Hey, what about all our loved ones, and what about all these souls, and what about all these neighbors? If Jesus was to come tonight, they're going to open their eyes. They're going to go into the tribulation period, and how many of them is going to open their eyes in hell? Talk of those that have passed over. Everybody spends either in heaven or in hell. You know what Nehemiah showed? He loved God and he loved people. He loved his people. He loved everybody. If we care deeply, I wrote down three things. We'll pray fervently, we'll give sacrificially, and we'll act decisively. Folks, you know what we got to be willing to do? We got to be willing to let God break our hearts. We got to be willing to see things through the eyes of Jesus Christ. We got to be willing to have the mind of Jesus. Let this mind be in you which be in Christ Jesus. We got to have the broken heart for souls that God had for souls. You see, Nehemiah's motives were pure and his call was certain. His faith was fixed on God. He said in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." But folks, he was opposed. I'm sure Jody has opposition. I'm not talking about you posing Jody, but man, go out here and try to witness to people and try to win people to Jesus Christ and oppose other faiths and so forth and see what happens. You do the same maybe in your own family, some of you, and stuff. See what happens, folks. He had to deal with compromise and he had to deal with fear and he had to deal with discouragement. But you know the thing about Nehemiah? He just persistently kept on building. And folks, it wasn't easy. Man, they had to build in materials in one hand and weapons in the other hand to defend themselves against the enemy that wanted to destroy them. God didn't promise us that it's going to be an easy road. And I think as the end times come, it's going to get worse and worse. But listen, expect resistance. Expect criticism. And folks, realize that we're in a spiritual battle. It's heaven versus hell. It's the devil versus God. It's Satan hating Christians. It's Satan hating churches like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." But folks, because they had the belief of Moses and because they had the preparedness of David, because they had a man like Nehemiah that was willing to step out and lead and bring them to action to get the building done, in 52 days the walls were built and the gates were restored. I want you to think about that. Oh, it's impossible to do that. Nothing's impossible, folks, not with God. You see, God lays on a leader's heart a vision. That leader steps out with a vision that God's given him, and then he conveys that vision to the people, just like Moses gave the message to the people. Well, that's impossible. Moses could say, that's impossible. Not with God. He just obeyed God. When the people heard the vision, they knew Moses was a man of God, and he gave them the vision. Then the people, they wanted to get involved. So they got involved, and then what happened? God blessed, and the miraculous took place. Folks, I think sometimes we look through the eyes of men. Sometimes we look through the eyes of end times and we say the Bible says there'll be itching ears and they'll be falling away. And the Bible don't lie, folks, there's going to be that. But that doesn't give us permission and give us an excuse just to sit down and do nothing. And pray for those that will. And God bless you, brother. I'm happy. Go get them. But I'm just going to sit still. Don't lose the blessings that God has for you. Don't let others steal your reward. I put it down this way, so I'll read it to you. I said, faith never becomes sight by wishful thinking. It comes sight through prayer, through belief, through preparation, and through action. I said, we believe like Moses and we take God at his word. We prepare like David and set our affections on things above. And when we build like Nehemiah with compassion and determination, the job gets done. I don't like to use job, but the plan, the work that God has given us gets accomplished to the glory of God, by the blessings of God. And we are blessed because God has let us have a small part in his great kingdom, his great work, his great plan. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God says our labors are not in vain. One day we're going to stand before God. And one day we're going to give an account. Folks, our judgment's been settled when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We received eternal life. My sins are under the blood, removed as far as the east is from the west. But I have to give an account for what kind of a Christian I am. Good or bad, did I obey or did I disobey? Are my works going to withstand the judgment fire at the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian? Or is it going to suffer loss? The Bible says there's those that, put it in Tennessee vernacular, get there as the skin of your teeth, like as by fire. These others going to be there like Paul. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. You know who determines what we get? God gives us a free will. God is the judge and God is the rewarder. But when I say determine what we get, just like these men of faith, great man of faith, we have to make the choice. Are we going to believe? Are we going to prepare? And are we going to build? It's our choice. Brother Jody.
Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. We prepare for the invitation. We never want to let a service come and go without giving folks an opportunity to respond to the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God speaks through His Word. And maybe He's spoken to you tonight through His servant. And I wonder, are you in the faith? He was preaching about our faith showing, being shown to others. But I start this out by saying, are you in the faith? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have a Bible reason why you know that you're going to heaven someday? If you say, no, I don't, or I'd love to learn more about salvation. In just a moment, when we begin to play through, we're going to invite you to come. Or maybe tonight God is dealing with your heart as a child of God, because this message on faith is speaking to you. I was thinking down there, just in general terms, that true Bible faith is alive. It doesn't lie dormant. It acts. It gives fruit. And I think all of us can learn from this message tonight. Increase our faith, O God. May the Lord increase our faith and help us to be more like Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you about your salvation, or if you just want to come and pray that your faith will increase, or if you just want to come and say thank you that you're worthy to believe, however God leads you in this, as Brother Gary sings, I want you to come now. Would you do that?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am
keep singing on, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in.
You can look this way. This is Hannah Collier and her mom and dad. The Lord has been dealing in her heart. She came to see me this week. And she knows she's saved. She knows she's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And she's never been baptized, so she's coming because she wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism on Sunday. But the main reason she's coming is she told me that, I'm paraphrasing, but she's been running long enough. And she wants to officially rededicate her life to Jesus Christ. And I'm so proud of this young lady. I don't hug girls, but I had Charlotte hug her for me, you know. And I challenged her to do this because I said, one thing you need is a little accountability. By the way, we all need accountability. And I want you, if you mean it, if you don't mean it, don't say it, but if you're happy for this young lady and you're proud of her for doing the right thing, be honest now, say a big amen. Would you do that? And if you're for her, would you say amen? Amen. But more important than that, God's for you. And we're so thrilled. We're so thrilled. And so happy for you. Excited about what the Lord's going to do in your life. And I know Mom and Daddy are thrilled about this too. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, okay? You all stay right there. I told her you won't have to say a word. Just let me talk. That's what I do for a living, you know? And we're proud of you. God bless you. And I'm sure many of our folks will want to come and greet you and say God bless you for this. And I want to encourage you as a family to pray right there as we pray for this. I appreciate the message tonight. God bless you. Thank you so much for being faithful to the Word of God and letting the Word of God speak. And I'm so excited. I can't stand myself, honestly, with this. Just showing you how the Lord works and all these kind of things. We had a good time kind of crying together, and that was a blessing. And I know my wife is somewhere in the building. She may be feeding the baby, but she's on your side, and you let her help you. She'll do her best to help you. All right? We're gonna have a brief prayer meeting now for our big day. And if you'll take out your prayer sheet, it's right here. I want to draw your attention to these requests on this little piece of blue paper that we had stapled on here for you. These are the things that I called off to you last week in my own handwriting, and I mentioned I'd make this available to you, and our secretaries were gracious to type this out, Miss Brenda stapling it to your sheet here. During this time, I want us to focus on these requests, and we're plowing towards a Wednesday night prayer meeting. This is kind of an introduction to that, so to speak, because after the big day, God willing, once this big day is over with, we'll officially start our groups and all these kind of things. But I thought, and I feel the Lord leading me, working up to the big day, just focusing our attention completely on open house. And as a church body, really praying about this. I echo everything that was said tonight. Beautifully done. And God has used this. And we need to be out about inviting people, talking to people, sharing our faith. But let us not bypass prayer. We must pray. We must seek God for this. Do you understand that God can do more with an invitation than you can? You understand that, right? Do you realize that God can take invitations that are handed to people and they throw them down or throw them in the garbage can? God can allow somebody to go past that garbage can and see that and pick it out and say, what's this all about? God does things like that. He can do anything He wants to do. So let's beg Him to do it. Let's plead with Him to do it. So what we're going to do is this. I'm not going to force you to do this because the Lord wouldn't force you to do this, okay? But if there's somebody seated close to you there that you're comfortable with praying with, it may be a group of you, it may be a husband and a wife, it may be a family, it may be a row, it may be two or three rows. If you feel comfortable getting with somebody here to let somebody lead in prayer for your group, whether it be just you, and your wife or you and your family, or whether it be a whole row, whatever you want to do there, I want to encourage you. I'm just going to ask if you wouldn't mind just to play through something soft. Let's try to partner up with somebody. If you're not comfortable with that, no problem. If you want to pray just alone, no problem, okay? But I'm going to give you just a little time as she plays through something here to try to figure out who you're going to be praying with a little bit tonight as she just plays through here softly, and I'll come back here momentarily, okay? Grab somebody around you there if you're comfortable. If not, no problem. Just pray alone. That's no problem, okay? Grab somebody, and then we will pray here momentarily. Let's pray together, okay? Our Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the privilege to pray. We thank you, our Lord, that you are interested in the prayers and cries of your children. And I pray tonight that as we're bowed before you, I ask that our hearts are clean. And I pray if there's anything in our lives that hinder you from listening to us, would you forgive us as your children, cleanse our hearts, and may there be nothing between our soul and the Savior. And Lord, we thank you for the message tonight, and I pray you'll help us to apply it. May you apply it to our hearts. And Father, as we think about open house, several weeks away, we are praying now and asking for a mighty moving of God. I pray, our Father, that you will hear our prayers, and I pray that you'll answer our prayers according to your precious will. We believe, Lord, that you have laid this day on our heart. We believe that you've laid it on our heart to get as many people under the sound of the gospel as you would have us to get. And I pray, our Father, that you'll specifically hear these requests tonight. As we work down through this sheet together, I pray that the invitations that are given out will find good ground. I pray that as we distribute these invitations, we pray, dear Lord, that you will touch them, that you will bless them, that you will anoint them. I pray for the gospel on the back side of them, that you'll speak to people's hearts and draw them to Calvary. I pray that folks that are invited, I pray especially for the lost, that they will come, those that's been invited and those who will not even receive an invitation. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you divinely work in their heart to draw them to your house. And we pray as the message is preached in the morning, we pray for those that will be speaking to children. We pray for Dr. Comfort as he speaks to teens and adults. We pray as the message goes forth, we pray that the lost will respond. We pray that, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll convict their heart, that you'll draw them to yourself. And maybe there will be a mighty moving of people coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for Dr. Comfort, that you give him liberty. I pray, Lord, that you give him freedom as he preaches in the morning. But all revival long, but especially the morning of open house. We pray for good health in his life, that you'll keep him healthy and strong to be able to come and arrive and be here to preach. We pray, our Lord, that you'll be with the personal workers. For those that will deal with children, that they do not press and they do not overextend, but Lord, give wisdom, I pray. I pray, Lord, for those altar workers that work with teenagers and work with adults. Would you touch these altar workers and these personal workers? We pray for divine wisdom. We pray that a mighty moving of God will take place. I pray, our Father, that you'll help this church to have a mind to work. Thank you, Lord, for the many invitations that's already been given out, but I pray that you help us to reach the 10,000 mark. Help us to get 10,000 invitations out, and I pray that many people will respond. Help us to have a heart for God, to do it for you, not for man. We pray for the follow-up work after the big day. We pray that you help us as we go into homes and follow up on salvation decisions. We pray that you'll build this church. Help us just to obey and trust you to build. But most of all, we pray that through this big day and these invitations and the days working up to it, we pray that you and you alone will be glorified. We pray that you and you alone will receive the praise. And we pray that lost people will respond for your glory. We pray you give Dr. Comfort liberty for your glory. Give him freedom for your glory. We pray that you give personal workers wisdom for your glory. We pray that you help the church to have a mind to work for your glory. We pray for the follow-up work to be held in a way that pleases you for your glory. And may everything be done for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. We pray that you help us now. Guide, lead, and direct us. And we give you the praise and glory now for what you're going to do. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we're dismissed, Brother David Morrison is looking for somebody with a CDL driver's license to drive a bus for the International Ministry on Saturday at 9. So I throw that out. If you have your CDL and would be willing to drive for the International Ministry, please see Brother David Morrison. And if you have not picked up your T-shirts, you can pick those up tonight in the men's classroom. Okay? Again, come by and shake Miss Hannah's hand. Some of you ladies want to hug her neck, that's fine, but you men, don't hug her. You can shake her hand, but don't hug her, all right? We throw that out. Men, don't hug women around this place. Amen. And women, don't hug the men either. Amen. Okay? All these kind of, you can shake their hands. Thank you for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Please come up and encourage this young lady in what the Lord's doing in her life. Okay?